I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. Some of you may recognize those lyrics as the beginning of the song, This Is Me, from the movie The Greatest Showman. If you haven't seen the movie, first, you should go home and watch it. It's lovely. But for context, just in case, The Greatest Showman is the fictionalized origin story of P.T. Barnum, the great American circus man of the 19th century. At this point in the movie, Barnum has gathered a group of what, in the parlance of the times, people would have referred to as circus freaks. The bearded lady, the little man, the strong man, the wolf man, etc. There have been angry protests outside of Barnum's presentation, not out of concern for the exploitation of these human beings, but in outrage over the display of indecency that these people portray just by their existence. Immediately before the song begins, there is a black tie event being held to celebrate Barnum and all of his successes. But when the circus folk dressed to the nines try to enter and join the celebration, he literally closes the door in the faces of those who have made him a success. It seems that despite seeming to be their friend and their advocate, even he is happy to shut out people who have brought him fame because of their differences and infirmities. From the dark room behind the closed door, the bearded lady sings the opening words, describing in the agonizingly beautiful melody the pain that she has experienced, living with her condition that excludes her from normal life. The women we encountered in our Bible stories today probably could deeply identify with these words. So as we continue our I've Been Meaning to Ask series, today we explore the question, where does it hurt? A question we probably more readily associate with a visit to the doctor or the emergency room than with a Sunday morning church service. But the writers of our Sanctified Art series are looking to provoke us with questions that seek to strengthen our empathy and our community through vulnerability and authenticity. Pastor Caleb's sermon from last week says quite a lot about today's topic as well. Because in asking the question, where does it hurt? We are asking the other person to trust us to receive their answer with grace and love. The question, where does it hurt, invites us to become vulnerable in sharing our pain. And when we ask the question, we must be aware of the reasons the other person may not have shared their pain in the first place. The lyrics I opened with convey some of the reasons. Our society teaches us to be ashamed of our broken parts. We are taught to hide our scars and our pain from the world. The question, how are you, is rarely met with a deep, detailed response of what is going on in our lives. And that is what we are taught. How are you is a perfunctory question designed to evoke a small talk answer. I'm fine. So instead, the question we ask today is deeper than how are you. Today, we pose, where does it hurt? A recognition that we all carry pain and that we have all known suffering. The Bible verses today give us two examples of women who have been suffering in silence, who have borne their pain alone, in part because society then and honestly now considers reproductive issues shameful. Hannah has suffered not only the personal pain of being unable to conceive a child, but the additional pain of being mocked by her sister wife. The hemorrhaging woman, who, like so many other women in the Bible, is given no name, has suffered more than a decade with a flow of blood. And in addition to her physical suffering, she has suffered at the hands of first century medicine, which we can all only imagine would be horrifying, and she has suffered financially, spending all she had chasing a cure for an ailment that isolates her from her community. Both of these women are silently suffering reproductive issues, a subject, as I mentioned, that is still mostly taboo today in polite society. Even though we are more than 2,000 years on from the stories of Hannah and the hemorrhaging woman, we still don't openly discuss fertility struggles or pregnancy loss. We have learned to be ashamed of our scars. And these are not the only areas where people suffer in silence based on societal expectations. Despite all the progress that has been made in the acceptance of mental health, people still suffer in silence, often for fear of the reaction of others. People with invisible disabilities, mental or physical, disabilities that don't show on the outside, are often openly judged by others who don't understand their condition and who are not willing to take the step of seeking understanding. People with invisible disabilities are more likely to face scrutiny from employers and coworkers who may believe that they are faking to get time off. People with hidden conditions may also lack support from even their closest friends and family members who can't understand why someone who looks perfectly healthy can't seem to get out of bed. If someone has a physical injury, we don't tend to ask, where does it hurt? If we see a cast on an arm or a leg, we may ask how they're feeling, how their injury is healing, but we can clearly see where it hurts, at least where it physically hurts. And today's question acknowledges that we cannot always see where people are hurting. It acknowledges that many of us suffer in silence in all manner of ways, not wanting to seem like we are complaining, thinking that we do not have a right to our pain because others suffer more, thinking that if our pain was known, it might make us unlovable, thinking it best for that pain to stay hidden in the dark. But the Bible stories we heard today show us what can happen if our silent suffering stops being silent. So we'll start with Hannah. Unable to bear children, she not only suffers the pain that many women today still endure, but is also taunted by Elkanah's other wife about her agony. Elkanah tries his best, but not surprisingly, telling someone who is in deep emotional pain to just be okay with what you have doesn't do much to assuage the suffering. Hannah, in her deep despair, prays to the Lord, weeping, praying silently, moving her lips, but making no sound. In response to what he sees, Eli presumes she must be drunk. The ignorance of this particular assumption aside, it is not uncommon for people who suffer invisibly to have aspersions cast against them by people who presume to know what's going on. Hannah gently defends herself and tells Eli no, she has been pouring her heart out to the Lord. In speaking her truth to Eli, the response is that he blesses her, that the God of Israel might grant her petition. And she goes away, her face no longer downcast. Hannah speaks her pain, acknowledging it possibly for the first time to the Lord, possibly for the first time to another human being outside of her family. And she is seen. And it seems that her burden is lightened. The story of the hemorrhaging woman gives us a second example of someone who has been suffering alone. Well, we can't really say this woman has been suffering silently, because scripture tells us she has seen many physicians. Her isolation is still real, coming from the persistent flow of blood that would mark her as unclean perpetually from gathering with her community. In an act of desperation, this woman seeks this Jesus she has heard about, coming to find him in the certainty that just one touch of his cloak will heal her. And she is correct. Upon touching Jesus' cloak, she is healed of her affliction. Much to her surprise and possibly fear, at that moment, Jesus turns around and looks for who it is that touched him. The disciples are a little incredulous. Jesus is looking for one person who touched him in this thronging crowd? I'm sure they wondered why it mattered. But it does matter. Jesus knows it matters. And as the woman falls at her feet, at Jesus' feet, and pours out her story to him, Jesus acknowledges her affliction, her faith, and confirms that she has been healed. He hears her story, and he sees her. And we, of course, don't want to forget the other healing narrative that bookends the story of the hemorrhaging woman. The healing of Jairus' daughter shows us a similar theme, not only in the miraculous healing. But the difference between Jairus, the difference between this story and, wonder what that sentence was supposed to say. The difference between the hemorrhaging woman and Jairus is that possibly because he's a man, he doesn't suffer in silence. Right from the get-go, he seeks out Jesus. He doesn't try and secretly touch his cloak. He tells him what is happening and says, "I need your help." And despite the delay that leads to the girl's death, supposed or actual, Jesus sees the pain of this father and goes with him and heals not only the daughter, but the pain of the mother and father as well. What is true in all of these stories is that healing begins when the person in pain shares what they are going through. When they lay bare their pain and find that it is not met with the derision and condescension that society has taught them to expect. When we ask the question, where does it hurt? We need to be aware of the past judgment that people may have encountered with regards to their pain and suffering. We must ask the question with gentleness, in understanding that we are asking someone to overcome the fear of sharing their broken and scarred truth out loud. As Lisa shared last week, the introduction sentence for each week of this series, "I've been meaning to ask," conveys intentionality and consideration and implies that you've been on my mind or I've been thinking about you. When we follow the leading statement, "I've been meaning to ask," with "where does it hurt?" it invites people to share all of themselves, their pain included, and indicates a desire to truly see the other person. When Hannah leaves her encounter with Eli, her pain has not yet been healed. Despite this, she seems to leave in a remarkably better state of mind, her suffering lessened, however slightly. Asking the question, "where does it hurt?" does not mean we are going to be able to fix what is wrong. In fact, it's often better probably if we don't try and repair somebody. But at the risk of straying too far into next question, which is not how can I help? Maybe it is how can I help. It's something like that. Those of you who were at the Intune event last night saw clear evidence of how hearing the stories of others is a place for healing to begin, even when we can't take away or fix the underlying trauma or fear. As someone who experiences mental health issues, I can truthfully say that when somebody is open to listening to my fear, no matter how insignificant or unfearful the issue may seem to them, it often gives me a huge boost towards slowing or even ending a panic attack. Asking the question, "where does it hurt?" and providing a safe space for someone who has been hidden in their pain to share their suffering and be fully seen may alone be enough to make a difference. The song that I opened with, "This Is Me," is not a song of self-pity. It quickly moves on from those verses of pain and being pushed aside because of imperfections to become an anthem about being seen for the whole person that you are. The movie scene ends with those who had previously cast out the circus folk Now cheering them on in full acceptance of all of their oddities, from height abnormalities to excessive facial hair. The song always makes me feel emotional, but in watching it again this week, I realized it's actually not the cheering acceptance of the normal folk that makes me well up. What moves me to tears every time is that these characters who have been shut out of everyday life have found community amongst each other. They have created a safe space where every part of them, their abnormalities, and their pain can be accepted. That community gives them the confidence to say, I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I meant to be, this is me. And to know that they will not only still be welcomed, but even supported and loved. When we open ourselves to ask and answer the question, where does it hurt? We are fostering this type of community. The type of community that Jesus shows us where healing can begin by seeing people, really seeing them for their whole selves, pain included. A community where we can all feel comfortable to speak our truth and safely proclaim, this is me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.